Good morning, everyone. I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and beginning at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God."
Thank you, Simon. And just referring back for a moment or two, children, all the food here, we're going to pass it on to a company called Beacon House. And Beacon House is in Colchester, and they help to support the people who are homeless in Colchester. And they make them food, they give them food. And so all of this will go to them to help the poor people and the homeless people in Colchester this year. So that's good. The question still is, though, from before, how generous are we? That story that Simon's just read from the Bible, did that seem familiar to you at all? Had you heard something like it before somewhere? I think you had about 2 minutes ago beforehand. It was that story, almost the same, that Dammy and I acted out on the front here. And Jesus in that passage tells us some things, makes some things very clear for us to consider and to think seriously about. First of all, greed is not acceptable. In verse 15 he says that your life is not measured by what you own. You're not good enough, not good if you like, you're not brilliant because of the stuff you've got. And yet, how often do we put people on a pedestal because of their skills or what they own? The sportsman or woman who earns millions, the directors of large companies, even when they go bust. Rivalry over the best and most expensive car or house. Jesus says there's more to life than that. And we'll see that in a minute. So, first of all, greed's not acceptable. Secondly, we can't tell the future. Children, who's got plans for today? What are you going to do after you go when you go home today? What are you going to be doing? You're going to go bananas. Fantastic. Yes. I like the way you chose a fruit there. That was very good. Anyone else got plans for today? Adults? Anyone going out to dinner? Just put your hand up. Oh, Sharon, you've got something. What, you've got something planned for today. What is it? Watch the TV. That's exciting. Adults, anyone going out for dinner somewhere? No? Nobody? Okay. But you are going to have food after this, are you? That's your plan? Yeah? Okay. Thing is, we don't know, do we? We don't know from one moment to the next, never mind about plans for the future, like this man was doing in the story. We don't know. He's told, and was told very, very clearly, wasn't he, by Jesus, in the parable by Jesus, that man thinks he's got it all worked out, but what he's got, he's not going to enjoy, because his life is going to be over tonight, and all the plans he set in place will come to nothing. He will not benefit, because he can't stretch his life in the same way that he could make nothing himself on the field. It was made by God. So it's God's determination that decides when he's called to die and when he's not. It's not in his hands. And our times are not in our hands either. And it's a sobering thought, isn't it? It's a sobering thought that those things that we have will rot away or wear out. I even think, I collect books by an author called Mervyn Peake. One or two of you might know that. And to be honest, they're sitting on my bookshelf at home. What they're doing? Nothing. They're just there. And they'll wear out. And all of those things, if we're not careful, our attention goes to all of those kind of things. James tells us that a rich man will fade away even as he goes about his business. And it's sobering for us to think of our priorities and what they are. But Jesus, in this parable, is pointing to something much more certain, much more stable, and a better way. Now, I don't know whether you've noticed in our harvest service today, but we've looked upward to God and given him thanks. We've looked outwards to those who need our compassion. And now it's time to look inwards to ourselves and our own relationship with God. Verse 21 that Simon read says about being rich towards God. Many other translations say have a rich relationship with God. And I understand that better than being rich towards God. Having a rich relationship with God. What does that mean? See, it's more than just acknowledging who God is. For the man in this parable that Jesus told, he ignored, really, a better way to live. Jesus is talking about something personal, some personal commitment, something that won't rust, something that won't fall apart or be ignored on a shelf. He's talking about something that won't be eaten away by time. He's talking about the relationship that you and I and everyone here has with God. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, how rich is my relationship with God? Children, if you've got friends, put your hands up. Children, yay! If you've got a special friend, put your hand up. Yeah, one or two have. Isn't it great with those special friends that you can just enjoy time with them, that you can love being there with them, that you can just share the odd secret together and spend time together? In rich relationships, those kind of things are things that happen. We understand each other. We share together. We bear each other up. We bear with people. We know as much about them and want to as we possibly can. That's a rich relationship with God. Now, God knows every fibre of our body. He knows everything about us. We have to look at ourselves and ask, how much do I know him? How rich is my relationship with God? How can I even have a rich relationship with this Creator God? Jesus is talking here And it's Jesus talking about himself. He is the way to have that rich relationship with God. He is the Son of God. God who was generous enough and not greedy to keep him to himself, allowed him to come and live the perfect life and die on the cross so that you and I, through our faith in him, can have a rich relationship. That's what this is all about. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That rich relationship that Jesus talked about in the parable is available to you and me with the Creator God, who has created all things from nothing, who knows all things, who knows the end from the beginning, who knows the times we have, and we can have a relationship with him that takes us into eternity. Now, isn't that a better way than holding on to a rusting car and a shelf of books and saying, that's my priority, that's what's most important to me? It isn't, and it shouldn't be. Jesus tells us that. It doesn't say ignore them and never have anything to do with them, but the priority of where the interest lies should be in him. So we have to examine ourselves about those priorities. And Jesus is not just talking about when he came, the gleaning of life, the bits left over. He's talking about himself as God's one and only Son, who willingly gave himself for us. And our response to his death on the cross for us has eternal consequences for us. Through faith in him, we can be with him in eternity, and it is secure. Not like the man with the bigger barns. Without that, we are left in an uncertain future. If you continue reading through Luke 12, you will see there are two interesting phrases that come up. First of all, it fascinates me that immediately after that about the barns, the next thing Jesus talks about is about worrying about things. Don't worry about this, don't worry about that. Read it through when you get home. One is attached to the other. Don't worry about those things. God's got it all in hand. For those who love him, he's got it there. But further on, it says, seek the kingdom of God first, above all else, and he'll give you everything you need. That's a well-known verse. We sing a chorus of that, don't we, sometimes? Seek you first the kingdom of God. Some of you all know it. That's in this passage, just beyond where we read. And then at the end of it, verse 34 says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. The things we think about most. The desire you have. Is it to build bigger barns? Is it to build a bigger bank account? Is it to build a brand new car? Or is it to build a rich relationship with the God who loves us and has given so much for us? The Bible has some advice for the rich and actually how they can put the riches that they own in context of the riches of God. And it says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. As Timothy saying, what God has given you, be thankful for it. What God has given me, to be thankful for it. So many of those references to biblical harvest actually are in the context of our relationship with God. That's what the Old Testament was all about, that relationship with God. And it's still the case now. It's our relationship with God that will reap a harvest in our lives and for his kingdom. Now today we've looked at upward at God, as I say. We've talked about a providing God. We've looked outwards, those who are less fortunate than we may be. And we've looked inward to examine our relationship with Jesus. And we celebrate the physical harvest, the capacity to share it in a small way, and the riches we have in Christ. And Christ is the one to whom we can go in any hour of need. He will listen, he will be there. And as we build our rich relationship with God through reading his word, through prayer, through meditation, through having fellowship with each other, by sharing what we have in Christ together, as we do all those things, I just pray that we'll grow together and the harvest of our lives will produce much fruit. And Christ is the one that in times of need we can run to. Today is a good day to give thanks. We're going to sing a last song. And because I thought about God, we're running to God, we're going to sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved." Now, do I have any volunteer people who know the actions for this to come and help me at the front?